بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ثم لا تسألون يومئذ عن النعيم. صلوات على محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
We live in a society where if Islam says that outside it's daytime, this society says it's nighttime. That if this wall is black, Islam says, the society says that this wall is white. That if Islam preaches the ummah, the society preaches the individual. That if Islam preaches humanity, this society becomes inhumane day by day. If Islam asks you to have morals and values, this society asks you to be unethical. And so having said that, we're also asked in this society to somehow hold on to this rope of Islam, to somehow keep our head afloat above water. These children right now, who will raise and who will grow up in this society, are asked basically to become proper Muslims in a society that does everything Islam says not to do. It's hard. It's difficult. It's not easy. And for those of us who've been through it and are going through it right now, we know it's a constant struggle. But if we have one safina, if we have one salvation, if we have one rope, if we have one way out, if we have one path, the only path that we have to keep our head above water is to create a connection with our Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. And I want to spend just today talking about connecting with our imams at a very personal level. Right now, I feel like, and the reason why I chose this certain topic was I feel like in our communities and our societies across North America, even across the world sometimes, we've placed the imams at a point where they're almost supernatural. They're almost like a superhero figure. They're to be applauded, they're to be praised, they're to be, clapped for, they're to be all these things, but they're not to be emulated. They're not to be connected to. And that's a big deficiency right now we have in our societies. If we believe that these imams are ultimate hadis for us, and we believe that these imams came down for us for hidayat, if we believe in the ayat that says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, then we understand that the ultimate solution to our problem in this society are these great guides of ours. But we've placed them in such a corner sometimes that they've just become something that we praise and that we honor. Just last week, they were honoring the 40th anniversary of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., for example. 40 years since Dr. Martin Luther King passed away, and he was shot, as many of you know, and he was a guy who revolutionized the black America in the 60s. He brought forth this message of a revolution, of speaking out for yourself, of defining your character. And now, 40 years later, this same group of people that he preached to are doing the opposite of what he had said. And all that's left is that on one day we praise Dr. King or we put flowers on his grave or we do whatever. We have not emulated his message. And I fear that the same will happen with us and our imams. And that's a difficult task for us. If we have placed the imams such that we are not able to even connect with them at a personal level, then really our hope is very little in this society. And we need to survive in this society right now. So if I ask you, let's say, connect with our Holy Prophet at a level that he's rahmatil lil alameen, I'm sorry, but you and I can't do that. To understand a personality who is rahmatil lil alameen, for me, let's say, Asad Jafri, is extremely difficult. Yes, I'll praise him for that, and yes, I'll love him for being rahmatil lil alameen, but I cannot connect with him. If I ask you to connect to Imam Ali at a level that he's Amir al-Mu'mineen, for example, he's a commander of the faithful. If I asked you to connect to Imam Ali at a level that he's Fatir Khaybar, that he ripped this door of Khaybar, that takes 40 people to open and close, I'm sorry, but you and I cannot connect with that. Yes, it increases our love for Imam Ali, we respect him, and yes, that iman that we have for him grows inside of us, that connection though, is not made. And our focus nowadays seems to be on those things where our connectors are losing their power. If we believe in books like Allama Tabatabai writes a book called Sunan al-Nabi. In that book, Allama Rahmatullah Alayh talks about every aspect of the life of the Prophet. From everything from how he slept, to how he ate, to how he dressed, to the colors he wore, the du'as he read, everything. Why is the question? Why are such books being published? Why is this information important to us? We need to understand that if we are to connect to our imams at any level, we need to find a common denominator with them. And if they are ultimate guides for us and not some supernatural beings that are to be elevated and just looked at and praised, then that denominator exists. See, what we've done is the same thing we've done to Karbala. And my concern is that, you know, lately there's been a lot of talk about the fact that, you know, like for example, if I tell you that Rasulullah Khuda received his laqab Muhammad Amin from the fact that he was a great shepherd. Muhammad Amin came from the fact that when the Prophet of Allah was a shepherd, he was a very truthful and honest shepherd. Back then, other shepherds used to take in sheep, used to kill that sheep, feed their families, and then tell the owner of the sheep that a wolf came and ate it. Our Prophet of Allah never did that. In fact, he would take sick and tired sheep, make them strong and healthy for them, and give that same health and wealth back to the owner. That is how he was known as Muhammad Amin. And if I sit here and tell you that our Prophet was a great shepherd, you'll tell me that I'm doing tawheen of our Prophet. And that's a problem for us. Because everything that our imams do for us is the uswatun hasana, is the ultimate example for us. And there's nothing they did that was an example for us at our level. But for us to try to connect to our imams at a level where it is beyond our scope, like someone who's Amir al-Mu'mineen, or Sayyid al-Shuhada, or Rahmatil al-Alameen, all these laqabs are deserved for them at a batini level. The zahiri level is what we connect at. We have to understand this. But right now, some of our youth are going along the path that let's keep them at that level, and let's, as long as we praise them, we're okay. That's not the connection we're looking for. The connection that we need is at a level that's very detailed. From the way Imam Ali walked, to the way he slept, to the way he woke up, the shoes he wore, the way he trimmed his beard, these are the things that you and I can relate to. But there's no emulation. There's no imitating of our imams. There's simple praise for them. And I'm not downplaying praise. But I'm saying if we need to hold on to a safina in this society of salvation, it's that connection with our imams. Because my fear is that our imams will ultimately end up like Karbala has ended up. Look, to understand this, if any of you find anything in me that's worthy of praise, which probably you won't, I'm an insan in naqis. I'm an individual who's fallible. I'm an individual who's a gunagar. I make mistakes. You finding a fada'il inside of me is one-dimensional. It's one-dimensional. There's one aspect of me that you, let's say, you like. When you talk about an insan and kamil, there's multi-dimensions to that fadilat. When you talk about a perfect individual, there's certain doors you can enter to gain that fadilat from that imam. I give the example of placing Karbala inside of an arena. These arenas that we have, these sports arenas, for example. To enter the main area where the sport is being played, you enter through multiple doors. There's not one door that you enter through, there's not one door that you exit through. There's multiple doors to get to that area where they're playing. If we place Karbala, for example, in the middle of that arena, and there's 1,000 doors getting inside Karbala, and to Karbala, because there is. Ultimately, Karbala is so multidimensional that there are 1,001 doors to get to that door. Anybody and everybody can pick a door, get to Karbala, get what they want, and leave. What we've done is we've closed 1,001 doors, we've kept one door open and in and out of that same door. We've limited Karbala to, let's say, one door of that arena. And we're doing the exact same things with our imams. We're placing our imams in the middle of that arena. We're closing off all the other doors that they deserve, and we're going through one door. We've limited Imam Ali to a great mujahid, for example. That's not the case, though. For me to connect to Imam Ali of killing 70 people in the Badr, I can't relate to that. I can't connect to that. But for him telling me, or for him telling us, live a simple life, live a righteous life, live a pious life, and this is the way you do it, I can connect to that. So what we're doing is we're limiting our imams to one aspect of their multidimensional life. And that's oppression on them we're doing. We're doing injustice to these individuals. If they're guidance for us, let's take them as guides. And we see in history all throughout, what are the effects of that? That complete connection with the imam. For example, in Najib al-Azhar himself, Imam Ali writes, and I brought it with me. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
Najib al-Azhar, letter number 45. Uthman ibn Hunayf was a governor of Basra for Mawla. And Uthman ibn Hunayf accepted an invitation from a very, very rich man to come for a davat. And of course, you know, it was a huge davat. It was a very luxurious dinner. Mawla Ali got wind of this and he sent Uthman ibn Hunayf a letter. I'm not going to read the whole letter, but there's a portion of it that relates to this topic today. We're trying to connect to our imams. And later on I'll tell you what's the result of that connection in this world. But right now let's establish that our imams are multidimensional in terms of our connection to them. If we limit them to one dimension, we've done oppression to them. If others are trying to open up more doors to them, then we sit there and tell them that they've done tawheen, let's say, of Amir al-Mu'mineen, or tawheen of Rasul al-Khuda, or tawheen of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. That's not the case. If the problem is such, the problem is that you're limiting that fada'il. He says to Ibn Hunayf, you must know Ibn Hunayf, please. These words are Amir al-Mu'mineen. And I brought this so I don't paraphrase Imam Ali with my limited tongue. I want to read it straight from the book itself.
Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
He writes, you must know Ibn Hunayf, that for everyone who follows a religion, there is a leader and a guide from whom the follower learns the canons of that religion and the ways of leading a pious life. Now look to your imam, he says. So he's talking about himself. In this world, he has satisfied himself with two old, torn and coarse garments and two pieces of bread, one in the morning and one in the evening. And here's the sentence that I really want you guys to understand. I know that to adopt such a hard way of life is beyond you. But at least try to be pious. Try to follow me and be my companion in virtue, piety, and simple living. He says, try. Our Mawla says, try. You cannot reach that level where you survive on two pieces of bread. It's not practical. I'm sorry. He says that. It's beyond you, he says. But try to be pious. I swear by Allah that from this world I have neither amassed gold, nor have I gathered wealth and possessions, nor have I changed these coarse and old garments of mine with even an ordinary remnant from your treasury. He moves on. There's a thought right now in our societies that we believe that why should we look anywhere else within, let's say, Amir al-Mu'mineen, if he has laqabs like Amir al-Mu'mineen, for example, or he has laqabs like Hadar al-Karrar, why do we need to look above and beyond that? He addresses that himself directly in this letter. He says, shall I be satisfied simply because people call me Amir al-Mu'mineen? He says, shall I not sympathize with the faithful Muslims in their calamities? Shall I not be their partner in their adversities? Shall I not be their fellow sufferer? Shall I not set an example for them to patiently, courageously, and virtuously bear hardships? He's saying, look, if you elevate me to Amir al-Mu'mineen, I'm not satisfied with that. I want to be that individual who shares in your pain. I want to be a fellow sufferer. I want to teach you to patiently and virtuously go through hardships like I have. I want you to connect to me at this level. Because you can't connect to me at Amir al-Mu'mineen. These are his words, no one else's. And so this ideology, this thought that's roaming around, I don't know where it's coming from, that our imams need to be elevated so high that we can't even reach them, they're not guides for us at that moment. Our imams are hadis at what level? At our level. And that's why they did things that were humanly possible. Yes, there's an aspect of life that's ma'navi that we can never relate to. Absolutely, I agree. But that ma'adi life that they lived, that everyday life that they lived, if I sit there and tell you that Imam Ali was a great carpenter for the Jews, oh, he did tawheen of Amir al-Mu'mineen. But it's true. I should then limit him to one aspect and try to, God forbid, introduce other aspects of his life to this society, then I'll be blacklisted. I'll be on YouTube. There'll be a problem. But we're limiting our imams to people that we cannot even connect to, and that we expect to be forward in our nations. And just to give an example of what the effect is when you connect to the imam, the example we have in this part of the world, at this day and age, is that beautiful revolution of Iran in 1979. Khomeini, rahmatullah alayh, whenever he talks about the revolution, he has one famous jumla where he says, Hai cheke ma darim, as Karbala darim. That everything we have from Karbala. Yani that fearlessness that Imam Khomeini showed, that source, that connection was Karbala. He took Karbala as a connector for him, and he succeeded in this present day miracle that we call the revolution. If that's not enough, then on countless occasions, if you read the history of the revolution, we know that a lot of his fatwas and rulings, a lot of people said, Allah, are you sure about what you're deciding? They would question his decisions. That famous decision of when the Shah had said, anyone who comes out of their homes, I'll shoot you, for example, he comes out with the hukum saying, everybody come out of your home. Ulama calling him in the middle of the night saying, Allah, are you sure? He says, yes, I'm sure, yes, I'm sure, yes, I'm sure, yes, I'm sure. Finally, when he gets fed up, he says, Magar Shama as Allah Jan Bahtar Miduni. He says, do you think you know better than Agha Jan? He used to call Imam Zamana Agha Jan. That direct connection he had to Imam Zamana allowed him to have that fearlessness to move forward and not for a moment doubt one of his rulings. Even though his own companions and his own individuals in his army doubted what he believed in, or doubted his fatwas at some certain level. Until finally that no one would understand, he would say, listen, this is not me, this is my connection to the Imam. And so when we can find that connection to our imams at a level that we can relate to, then we become fearless.
Takbir.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Amin.
The ayat I read for you in the khutbah is the last ayat of Surah Takathur. The Quran says, ثُمَّ لَا تُسْعَلُونَ يَوْمَ عَذِينَ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. That, and on the day where you will be questioned from your bounties, in Tafsir al-Mizan, Allama writes that one of the companions asked Imam Raza alayhi salam, that these bounties and this ni'mat that this ayat is talking about, who are they talking about or what are they talking about? And our Imam replies, Nahnu, that ni'mat is us. When you'll be asked on the day of judgment of those bounties in this ayat refers to the Ahlul Bayt. One of the beautiful names that our Ahlul Bayt have is they are Hujjatullah fil Ardi. They are the proof of Allah on this earth. What kind of proof are they? How are they a proof? What are they proving? And this allows us to realize the importance of a connection to the Imams. That on the day of judgment, if someone approaches Allah subhanahu or complains to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that listen, you asked me to be pious and righteous and religious, but I have no idea how to, he'll say, no, I sent down my hujjat on the earth as my proof. On the flip side, he'll say, listen, you put me in Toronto, where there is shaitan on the television, shaitan on the internet, shaitan on the streets, shaitan on the bus stops, and my boss is shaitan, everyone. How do I possibly hang on to the rope of Islam? And then he'll say, no, in every zaman and every time, I put a hujjat on the earth for you. So any complaint that we might have, his answer is, hujjatullah, hujjatullah, hujjatullah. This is my proof that I put on earth. For what reason? To glorify, to praise? No, not only. To connect to find that common denominator between us and them. Their lives were ma'anavi and ma'di. Granted, absolutely, I give it to you. I cannot connect to Amir al-Mu'mineen at that level. 40 people to open and close Qibla. I don't know what that means to open it with one hand. I can't do that. But when I hear about him saying, try to live a pious life through me, I can do that. When I hear about Rasulullah looking at the mirror and say, Alhamdulillah, الذي حسن خلقي وخلقي, Then all praise to Allah who has made my khalq and my khulq beautiful, my inner and my outer beautiful, I can do that. When I hear that the Prophet of Allah slept on his right side, I can do that. When I hear the Prophet that said salam to elders and youngers both, I can do that. That's my connection to the Prophet of Allah. So splitting the moon in half, being the rahmat of all the worlds, I can't relate to that. I can't connect to that. I can applaud it, I can love it. I can build my iman around him with it. I can't connect to that. And that connection is what's needed. Imam Khomeini showed it in the revolution. And 2 years ago, Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah showed it in Lebanon. That connection to Karbala was constant. He called out the people of Hezbollah to be the shuhada of Karbala. And we see the result. 34 days. Full office. And that same connection that we see with all other shaheeds, who tomorrow we're commemorating and celebrating the shahadat and the martyrdom of Baqir al-Shaheed, Baqir al-Sadr, for that same reason. He was a direct threat to the enemy. For what reason? He had that connection that was strong with the Ahlul Bayt. He realized that, you know what, if I have one source, that source is my Imam. And that made him to be a complete threat to a huge system in the world. And so he was shaheed. And so you and I, we need to do the same thing at our level. And I'm not lowering the imams by any means. I'm trying to elevate us to their level. But sometimes, like I keep saying, especially nowadays, I don't know what's going on here, but there's this level of these supernatural, superhero imams that Vokaha or Mekaha, that's not the situation. That's not a guide. That's somebody that we apply, that's somebody that we respect, that's somebody that we praise. I want someone I can connect to. I want someone I can emulate. I want someone I can imitate. I want someone to look at me and say, yes, he is a Shia of Amir al-Mu'mineen, not a lover of Amir al-Mu'mineen. It's a big difference. To love and praise the Ahlul Bayt is one thing. To be their Shia is another. If you want to connect with the Imams, you're their Shia. If you want to love them, you're their lover, fine. Enemies love them, praise them with all due respect. But we're different. It's through us that their ideology is going to be spread. It's through us that they'll be remembered. It's through us that people will say, you know what? Imagine if the followers like this, can you imagine the actual leader himself? And so our responsibility today, with these youngsters, with all of us, is to find a safina, find a rope, find something to hold onto to keep your head afloat in this world. And that safina, that rope, whatever you want to call it, that is a connection with the imams. How do we do that? Educate yourself on those connectors that we have. Pick up Nahjul Balagha, let's say, for example, and read the words of Amir al-Mu'mineen. This book that Allama wrote is a beautiful book. It's so detailed about the life of the Prophet, to how long his hair was, to how many times he chewed his food, to how he used to walk, to how he used to look at people. These are things that you and I can emulate in our societies right now. That you and I can imitate in our life right now. And that's the connection that we need. We don't need to go anywhere else besides what we have in front of us. But sometimes it's been so mixed and mingled to the point where we cannot even recognize sometimes who they are. They're supernatural to us. And if somebody, God forbid, presents another option of the fazail of one of the imams, ooh. Tawheen and blasphemy and ghibat and tuhumat and all these things are there. The Quran says these individuals are uswatul hasana. And those very few people, that system right now in today's world who has adopted that, whose entire mission, entire government is run based on the imam, they're targeted. They're labeled. They're not even accepted by Shia sometimes. That's a problem for us. You don't want it this way, but when that way happens, you don't want it that way either. So we need to understand, there are examples in history, there are examples in present day. When you have a companion of Imam Ali alayhi salam, who's told that you're going to hang from this tree, and he comes by every day and he plants that tree, And he goes to the neighbor beside that tree and says, I'm going to be your neighbor one day. He kisses that tree. He makes sure that tree is around. That connection is a result of this iman. That connection. So we need to find that connection inside of us. Educate ourselves in the lives of our imams. And not just our living imam, all of our imams. And like I said, we have examples right now. Al-Khomeini rahmatullah is a prime example. Baqir al-Assad is a prime example. Nasrullah is a prime example. These individuals are individuals who took that safina, that rope of the Ahlul Bayt, and almost conquered the world. Imam Khomeini shook the world. Nasrullah shook the world. People were shot 34 days. You slapped Israel in the face in 34 days.
Takbir!
Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! Amen
al-Rahbar!
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad!
We need to remove this from our thoughts and from our societies and from our lives. And I don't want anyone to misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not trying to say that our imams were simple men. Of course not. They were infallible. They were perfect. They were masoom. But they lived a portion of their life for you and I. And they lived a portion of their life so you and I can emulate them and imitate them and connect with them. But sometimes we're so obsessed with that ma'navi life of theirs, the ma'adi life of them has become ignored. And we reduce our own status to simple lovers and praisers of the Ahlul Bayt. And we should be elevated towards Shias of the Ahlul Bayt, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, we live in a non-Islamic society. Our only hope is to use the wasila and the tools that you have set out for us. So we ask Allah for proper ma'arifat of those tools and those wasila, namely our Ahlul Bayt, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the reappearance of our imam. And if we are doing anything to block that reappearance, to slow down that reappearance, then Ya Allah, I ask you to please first and foremost forgive our sins, and secondly, give us tawfiq to not repeat those sins. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.